mercy and grace and loving kindness, and we're thankful that we do have full salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to want to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to want to be taught by the Spirit of God this morning. Open your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 2. The book of Matthew chapter 2. And verse 11. Matthew 2 and 11. We're preaching on a memorial to godly women, or to the women of God. And I believe you understand this morning that this should be the desire of our hearts. As we read Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." I believe every saved person in this audience this morning desires for Jesus Christ to have the preeminence. I believe that all the men that are saved in this audience want to magnify and praise Him. I believe that all of the women of God this morning who love the Lord Jesus Christ want Him to receive the praise and adoration that's due His name. But I do believe this is a message that's very needful, and I want us to think about a memorial to godly women. In the book of Matthew, chapter 26, Matthew 26, begin with verse 7, Matthew 26 and 7, "There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. When his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this way? Why is this woman doing what she did?' They could not understand the purpose of this godly woman. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, 'Why trouble ye this woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial.'" Why, she understands who I am. She understands what I'm about to do. She understands that I'm going to go to Calvary and die, but I'm going to come out of that grave. She understands the glory of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. She did it unto me. She did it for me. What she's done, you don't understand. But in her heart, she did this because she wants to give me praise and worship and adoration. She did it all for me. Look what he says in view of that, verse 13. "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." Can you imagine? We understand that the most precious message in all this world is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That ought to be preached everywhere. But Jesus said, and this is so not strange but unusual, he said, everywhere the gospel is preached, I want you to preach this story about this woman as a memorial unto her. I want you to give honor to whom honor is due. I want you to recognize this woman not because of herself, but because of her relationship unto the gospel of Christ and unto Christ. Women, what a glorious thing it is to have the privilege to do all that you do for the Lord Jesus as a memorial. I would God that we could relate what godly women have done for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ down through the ages. God has used His people to the praise of His name, and He's used all of His people. When I think about our message this morning, I turn to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 22. Genesis 2 and verse 22. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made He a woman. Here is a God-made woman. Jesus Christ, or the Lord God of glory, made a woman. And He made this woman on purpose. And He made this woman for a purpose. Here is a woman that God created in the beginning, and the Lord made he a woman and brought her unto the man. How beautiful that is, beloved. God made Adam, now He makes the woman. He brings them together as one flesh to honor His holy name. They have a mutual relationship to the Lord. They have a mutual relationship to each other, and that relationship is to glorify and magnify their Creator, not only physically, but their Creator spiritually. There's something special about those that God makes for His glory. We read this morning in our Bible study how the Bible says that Paul was made a minister. God made him for that purpose. Well, the same God that made Saul, or the Apostle Paul, as a minister, also has made all of His children to glorify and magnify His name. Oh, how thankful we should be this morning that God has seen fit to create order in this world by creating man and woman and giving them mutual responsibilities that will glorify His name. Your work as a woman is highly recognized by the God of all grace and ordained by the God of all grace. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, not the lesser vessel, not the insignificant vessel, but the weaker vessel. Not talking about spiritually, but talking about the makeup of a woman as far as the physical capacity is concerned. Giving honor unto the wife. Lord, I want to tell you something this morning. All the men in this audience ought to give honor unto godly women, not only their wives. We ought to honor, give honor to whom honor is due. Now, we don't worship women, we don't worship men, we don't worship preachers, but we do recognize them in their God-given capacity to glorify His name. So in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, he says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the weaker vessel. But we ought to recognize and give honor again this morning. In the fourth verse of this third chapter, 1 Peter, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, talking about the woman now, which is in the sight of God. How does God look at those women that He saved for His glory, that are faithful to Him, in the sight of God, of great price? What you're doing is highly acceptable in the sight of God. It ascends up like the ointment in the tabernacle that ascended up to God as a sweet-smelling savor. What you're doing, God Almighty says it is of great value. Don't let anybody tell you that the work of a woman is insignificant or doesn't matter very much. She has a God-given and God-ordained position in this world that brings glory to God as much as any minister in the pulpit, as much as any man in this audience or in this world. God Almighty honors those women that are faithful unto Him. Ephesians 5:25, of course, tells us, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Look, we ought to see, men, we ought to see this morning that our wives and our mothers and our women folk are looked after and helped. They ought to help to us. We are to watch over them with due reverence and due respect to the honor and praise of God Almighty. We ought, I say, to protect our women, these God-given women in this world. The world doesn't understand the godly woman any more than the godly man. We ought to protect them and preserve them and provide for them the means to carry on their work for the glory of God. We are to love them and cherish them. We are to care for them. Brethren, we need to show due respect and due honor, biblically now, again, not putting them ahead of the Lord or ahead of His work, but we ought to give honor to them because of the preciousness of God Almighty in making the woman and bringing women unto us that will be mutual in our help to each other. As I think about godly women this morning, we understand that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in order to be the kind of man you ought to be or the kind of woman you ought to be, you need to have salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. These women folk can't do by themselves what needs to be done. And as I think about this, the Apostle Paul says over in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, talking to young Timothy, he says, God who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Timothy, remember that God saved you. Remember that He has called you with a high and holy calling. We can only be the kind of people we ought to be in the salvation that's in Jesus Christ. So it's wonderful this morning that God has saved women and has ordained them in the sense of their work, not ordination in the sense of ordaining to the ministry, pastorate or something like that, but God has chosen them to use them to His glory. Remember that. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:10, for by the grace of God I am what I am. He was a saved man, and he was a God-called man. Well, we can apply that to the women. Women folk this morning, if God saved you, praise God. By the grace of God, you are what you are. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't be ashamed to be a God-saved woman. That's liberty. Somebody says, we need liberation for the women. They can't get any more free than being free in Jesus Christ. If they're free in Christ, whether they're free, whether anybody recognizes that type of freedom or not, they're free in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're free, of course, to do what God tells them to do, just like men are free to do what God tells them to do. Isn't that wonderful this morning? God saved you if you're a saved woman this morning. God has called you for a special duty or duty. What you do is not secondary. What you do is not non-essential. What you do is just not to make the man look a little better. Somebody says, well, God created women to be a helpmeet for the man, and the man is to have all the recognition. Well, that's a lie. That's not true. God's to have recognition, but God, it gives honor to both men and women in their God-ordained positions. In the book of Acts 9 and 15, I read this because it's so amazing. the Lord said unto me, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. God has chosen to use the Apostle Paul. Women? There is a very real sense that you too are a chosen vessel unto the Lord this morning. The Apostle Paul was chosen to bear his name. Lord, you're chosen. A chosen vessel of God to be used of God in this world. Never look down on that. I am a chosen vessel. If I'm saved, I'm chosen of the Lord, that I might be a servant of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? You have the privilege to be a chosen vessel of honor to the Lord this morning, to serve Him and to glorify and magnify His name. There's no higher position than that. Romans 12:1 says that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. That's men and women. If you want to be the kind of woman that you ought to be, as a saved woman, present yourself unto God to be used of God in the way He wants to use you. 2 Corinthians 8:5 tells us that they first gave themselves to the Lord. Have you ever given yourself to the Lord? Women, as a saved person, when you give yourselves to the Lord, He's going to show you what you can do to bring honor to His holy name. As I think about godly women this morning and a memorial to godly women, I think about Luke chapter 7. I think about this woman, which was an awful sinner. But in Luke chapter 7, it tells us that this woman came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 37, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, this woman was brought to the Lord Jesus Christ and recognized Him as her Savior. And Jesus Christ, I believe, in His saving her, saved her that she might be a woman minister. Not in the sense, again, of what we might think as far as ordination is concerned. But here is a woman that God saved, a sinner. And again, we were all sinners. But if you're saved this morning, God saved you and made something beautiful out of you spiritually. He took a dirty vessel, both man or woman, and saved us and put His Spirit in us and has blessed us with salvation that we might minister unto Him. If you really want to be again what you ought to be, you have to be a saved woman and a saved man. When I think about serving God this morning as a woman, I think about John 19 and verse 25. John 19 and verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus His mother and His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. Oh, there was standing by the cross of Jesus. You know, the best women that we have in this world are the women that take their place before the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, acknowledging Him as their Savior. And I want you to notice, too, while we're on this, it says in verse 26, and when Jesus therefore saw His mother, and the disciple standing by whom He loved, He saith unto His mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith He unto His disciple, behold thy mother. I want to tell you, beloved, we ought this morning to behold thy mother. Honor thy mother and father, that thy days may be long upon this earth. How sad it is that we don't do that as we should do. Honor thy father and thy mother. Jesus Christ made all arrangements for his mother. When I read that, I think about the Lord's recognition and the Lord's provisions and the Lord's care for his mother in this respect. We ought this morning again to behold thy mother. In the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 14, I read these to show you the mutual relationship between men and women as they serve God side by side. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. Oh, beloved, it mentions the apostles. Then it says, these all continued in prayer with the women. They were there too. Oh, they were not the spokesman outwardly. They were not the head of the church, so to speak, or whatever, but they were with the men in worship and prayer and adoration. Isn't that the way it ought to be? Husbands and wives, we ought to recognize that when we worship God, we are to worship God together. When we serve God, we are to serve God together. We are to serve God in that God-given place he's given us to serve as men and women. And there is a distinction, beloved, whether the world wants to recognize, there is a distinction between men and women. A God-given distinction. A God-honoring distinction. But we can serve God together. In Genesis, I just mentioned Genesis chapter 2, he brought the woman to the man as a helpmeet. They were brought together as one flesh to glorify God Almighty. Again, there were distinctions in their makeup. And I don't mean just powder and paint. There were distinctions in their in the God-given capacity that God gave the woman. There was distinctions in their physical makeup that God gave for a reason. And that's the way it ought to be. When you try to change that, you are going against God's Word. Oh, this morning, to be a woman is wonderful. Be a woman. You don't have to be somebody else. Whatever God makes you, he makes you that for his glory, and he gives you the capacity to serve him in that. Now, if you have other feelings, they come from the devil. Somebody says, I just feel like this. Well, the devil's given you that feeling if it's contrary to the Word of God. That's not God giving you those desires. It's of the devil. But I want you to see primarily this morning that God brought Adam and Eve together for a purpose to use them for his glory. In the book of Ephesians 4:16, it tells us that the whole church fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied. Well, there were men in that church, but there were women in that church, and God joined them together. And it joined them together that they might function to the glory of God. You know, it seems like to me the devil is trying so hard to divide our homes. He wants husbands to go their way and wives to go their way and children to go their way. He doesn't want any real home life. Well, if he could just separate the home. If he could just separate the church, women, you go your way and do your thing, men, you go your way and do your thing, and so forth, and we just divide the church, you know. God put us together. And when we perform our God-given responsibilities as one church, we glorify God. Isn't that wonderful? In the book of 1 Corinthians, it tells us in chapter 12, and verse 28, that God set the apostles first in the church. But the same God that set apostles in the church first also set women in the church. The They may have different responsibilities, but they're set in the same church. And the apostles are no more valuable than the women sit in the church. I'm talking in God's sight now. They have no greater responsibility, the apostles, than the women have. In 2 Chronicles, what a glorious verse this is, and I'll read it every chance I get. 2 Chronicles 20:13. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. But I would God would give us a revival that would bring fathers and mothers and husbands and wives and families, children together in the presence of God. Now we need that today. These people meet before God. You know what we ought to do as men or women? We ought to meet before God and say, Lord, what wouldest thou have me to do? Not what some ungodly philosopher says, not what some heretic or what some atheist or agnostic says in some school, not what some spock says, that doesn't know a speck about what ought to be done if he's not a Christian. Now, he may know some things physically, and I'm not going to... I apologize for missing people's names in that respect. He may know, and he may be a Christian, I don't know, but I'm going to tell you something. If God says it, that's what we're to do. And if we do it God's way, with love in our hearts, God will honor that. Now, quickly this morning, when I think about women of God and their service to God, we normally think Acts chapter 10 and verse 36 is pretty well taken in. Acts 10 and verse 36. That's one time I got the wrong scripture. But it talks about this woman that had been saved, Dorcas, and she was full of good works, which she did, sewing and knitting. Now, that's fine, the verse, anybody finds it, that's all right. But she was recognized because she was doing something that we consider women's work, and it was woman's work. She was full of good works. Well, she made clothes. When I think about a woman's work, we think about, the Bible says, that she's to be a keeper at home. What does that mean? Well, it means that there's a sphere of her work that's primarily in the home. And it doesn't mean she can't ever leave the home. It doesn't mean that she can't work on the outside of the home. But she has things she can do to the glory of God. And we consider that. When we think about a woman's work, we turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Let not a widow be taken into the number under threescore years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she has brought up children. Isn't it sad today? Bringing up children is such a drudgery. Isn't it so sad today that women can't be liberated unless they turn their children over to somebody else to raise? She brought up children. If she has lodged strangers, if she's washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. Now we consider that women's work. And it is. In Titus, I might as well read that, I mentioned it, but Titus chapter 2. begin with verse 3. The aged women likewise, if they be in behavior, as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now that doesn't say that she should be a slave. I want to say this. One of the things that upsets me a lot in this world is people say, men said, I'm the head of the home. Brother, when you say you're the head of the home, you better know what that means. I snap the whip. That's not what God's talking about, being the head of the home. I subject my children and my wife unto my authority. Well, first place, it's not your authority, it's God's. And God didn't tell you, He told you to love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. Now, if you want to be that kind of a head of the home, that's wonderful. I don't have time to preach on this morning, but it irritates me when men seem to have the idea that they are in supremacy. And that's why a lot of women don't understand. That's why a lot of women are rebelling today. Because they have been browbeaten in a lot of ways. But oh, there's some things you can do to the glory of God that the word of God be not blasphemed. In Proverbs 31, it tells about that godly mother over there. We shall not take time to read that. What a wonderful passage of scripture that is. She did a lot of things. She worked in the house. She worked outside of the house. She bought land, sold. She did a lot of things. When I think about a woman's work, let's turn to Romans 16. I'm going to run out of time this morning. I've got a 45-minute tape here. I've got to push to the end of it, so we might be at rest. But no, I won't do that. But Romans chapter 16 and verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church. To be a keeper at home? Why, of course she's to be a keeper at home. To raise children? If you have family? Of course that's a God-given responsibility. Does that mean she doesn't have anything to do with the church? Well, of course not. When the Bible says, let a woman keep silent in the church, it means exactly what it says. She's not to usurp authority over the man. She is not God called as far as the ministry is concerned. God says that a bishop or a pastor should be the husband of one wife. A woman can't qualify for that. She can't meet God's qualifications for being a bishop. But there are some things about the church that she has to do. Now, you have to compare Scripture with Scripture, beloved. She was not a pastor, but she was doing something to the glory of God in the church. In the book of Luke, chapter 2, and verse 37, Luke 2 and 37, I will close in just a moment, but notice these verses. Luke 2 and verse 37. And she was a widow of about 84 years, talking about Anna, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Israel. Can a woman be a witness? Why, yes, she can be a witness. Can she pray? Yes, she can pray. God sets regulations. Of course he sets regulations. But there's things you can do to his honor and his glory. In the book of Luke chapter 2, or chapter 1, verse 42, Luke 1 and 42. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women," not above women, but among women, "and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." God has blessed you. God is using you. You're blessed. Women, you've been blessed of God. What was she doing? She was bearing, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was blessed. In verse 46, here's a godly woman, beloved. "And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord." Is that the kind of godly woman you want to be? "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." This is Mary. "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." That's a godly woman, beloved. And as I close this morning, I think about the Ruth and Esther, and I think about Hannah, and I think about Elizabeth, and I think about Priscilla. I think about all the women, the Marys in the Bible. God used his angel. I look on this all. And I praise God that God still has his women in this world. Brethren, aren't you glad that God made a woman? And he made her in order that there might be a mutual relationship in this world of the praise of his name. May we this morning recognize the position of women and do all we can to defend that position, and to let them know that in the sight of God, it is of great price what you do for the glory of God. I pray that all women here are saved, and I pray that you have a desire for the Lord to use you to his honor and his glory. If you're here this morning, whether man or woman, and not saved, it's our prayer that God will show you the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of his people of their sin, that you'll behold the Lamb of God, that you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And as a saved person, whether man or woman, again I challenge you, what wouldest thou have me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do in this world? Our prayer is that you'll do what the Lord tells you to do.